Colossians 3, verse 15. I'm going to read it again, in case you've forgotten it from earlier. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, through psalms, hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So people have been asking me questions. If I had a question for you, if I said to you, have you got a heart condition? You probably think that's, first of all, a bit odd to ask that on a Sunday morning. But I'm usually, if I say, if you've got a heart condition, it's probably I'm asking a medical question, right? It's a medical thing. Usually, maybe there's some symptoms wrong with you, some symptoms that you're showing that may show that something is wrong, and so you know, particularly a doctor might say you might have a heart condition, and then we would do some tests. If you know, I'm sure Shari can correct me if we're wrong. We'd probably take bloods, do a heart rate and a blood pressure ECG, all those kind of things. SATs, thank you. Yeah, all those things to test to see what might be the problem, and depending on those results, then the doctor might recommend either some treatment or a change of lifestyle, maybe a change of diet or that kind of thing. And that's what we would do, right? Yeah, I don't know. Some of us have been through that. I know some of us have been through that. But if I said, "How's the condition of your heart?" and I gave you a slightly spiritual look. Yeah, just so you know, if I do look at you in that way, that's what that means, all right?
Really?
If you go and see Shari, she'll give you a doctor stare. I have a spiritual look, all right? So if I said, what's the condition of your heart? You get it? That's more of a spiritual question, I would say. I don't necessarily have an ECG machine that I can put on your heart then and kind of discern the condition of your heart spiritually, but maybe there's more a set of questions you could go through for yourself and start to think, okay, I wonder, what's he talking about here? Is he talking about what's governing, what rules in my heart? What kind of motivates me? What's the core of me sort of doing and saying? Could I describe my inner condition, my core self? And maybe you're thinking, that's a bit vague. How do I answer those questions? Okay, I'll be more directly. Here's some truth. You want some truth? You know, is there any bitterness in you? Is there any judgment in you? Is there any rage in you? Is there any hatred, any jealousy in you? That's a little bit more. Let's answer those questions truthfully. And then the condition of your heart, you might think, oh, okay. Because the thing is, if you go to a doctor and you realise that you've got a physical condition with your physical heart, then you do something about it because you know that's not good, you know? So you might need to, I don't know, exercise more or change your diet and stop drinking or whatever. But Paul here is talking about our spiritual hearts, the core of our lives, our probably even more important than our physical hearts. He says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace and be thankful. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And so I would suggest that the spiritual condition of our heart is important. And we need to, as Paul says here, decide to allow the peace of Christ to rule our hearts. And that peace is this, it's a kind of a thing we can almost not quantify. It's a tranquility of the soul. It's something that comes through the salvation of Christ. It's something that we will only know if we know Jesus has saved us and that we are redeemed by him. It's a salvation, as Emmanuel's talking about, you know, it's like, when's this evil going to be defeated? To know that actually is defeated in Christ. And that there will be a final judgment on all evil. To know that sin and death are defeated, that can bring a great peace to us in our hearts. To know that we're reconciled with God and there's no more kind of, I'm not quite sure whether he loves me, I'm not quite sure whether he's, you know, he's, we have been reconciled to God and reconciled to one another, an assurance of God's love, an assurance of God's protection. I tell you, that brings peace. It sounds good, doesn't it? If we were to know that, you know, people, I don't know whether I'm loved. Yes, you are. Even if everybody else loves you, God loves you. Yes. To know that, we can breathe deeply. It's the peace of Christ. And it's not something that's wishful thinking, by the way. You know, there's something real and powerful and active in the peace of Christ. It goes, the scriptures tell us, it goes beyond our understanding. I can't really explain it to you, because when you've experienced it, you just know. And there's been times in my life where I've had either times of extreme pain or extreme loss. I've known the peace of Christ. And I just can't, you think, well, this shouldn't be happening. I shouldn't be feeling peaceful in the situation I am, but I know through Christ something's going on inside that I can't almost explain. Let this peace of Christ rule in you, Paul says. And that's all we're required to do. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Which sounds so simple, doesn't it? Just let that happen. Christ will do the rest. Let it happen, but it is very costly, because what it does is it requires us to set aside that bitterness, that unforgiveness, that judgment, that hatred, that rage. You know, a few weeks ago, there was a whole lot of stuff we were told to put off. Put off those, oh, that old life. And he says, and be thankful. That's a recurring theme in this. Just be thankful, be thankful, be thankful. This is the way of peace. And so that speaks to us. But I think it's spilled out way beyond this, because we tend to read the Bible very individually nowadays. We tend to read this and think, oh, Jesus is speaking to me. He wrote this Bible for me. Richard Fox, I read it. Ah, this is a message to me. And yes, it is. But let us not forget that this was a letter written to a community of people. Probably, actually, I would imagine maybe people who are quite different, maybe coming together and suddenly they found themselves in a thing called they started to call it church after a while. And then you realise, who's this guy sitting next to me? He's very different to me. And there would probably, no doubt, would have been some tensions in that community. But this is what Paul writes to the community, and he said, yeah, we can apply this to ourselves, but I think there's a bigger picture in that we should have the peace of Christ at the heart of us being the church, which if we have it would make us very different from pretty much any other community that there is, I think, because wherever people gather there'll be tension. Wherever families have one bathroom, there'll be fights over who gets to go to the toilet and when. You know, whenever there's always strife, you know, in all kinds of, I was listening to people talking about how they're working in an orchestra and how the different cliques, and I've been there, you know, brass players, we don't tend to mix with string players. I mean, yeah, they only sit as far away as maybe like Keith or Shari are, but they're usually turning around and moaning that we're playing too loud. You know, and they just have a different way of relating to, we're, you know, and that's within an orchestra, which when you go and watch them, they're all kind of synchronized and this amazing harmonious sound. But you know who I hang out with in the break? It's not them. It's with the trombonists, you know, they're my kind of people. And why am I telling you that? Because in whatever, you know, whatever community we're in, there will be tensions. And the church is to be different. We are one body, made up of different parts. Yeah, so you could bring in an analogy of the orchestra, but we are the same body. We are the body of Christ, and we're called to peace. And at the heart of every church, we are called to have the peace of Christ amongst us. Because the church is the place where the reality of Christ should be visible here on earth. It's the place where the peace of Christ should dwell right at the heart of us. A living peace amongst real persons. Now, let me be honest with you. You go to some churches and you're in some churches and it's not always the case. Churches sometimes can be actually the worst place for this. They're worse than orchestras sometimes. But that shouldn't be the case. And there is a way where this cannot be. If we put Christ at the centre, then that really shouldn't happen. And it's really grievous. But that's probably why Paul is saying, when you gather together, Let the peace of Christ dwell in you. Dwell among you. You individually, but if it dwells among you individually, then that's going to seep out into the community. And when we share communion together, we're starting to get into the habit of saying what? Peace be with you. That's the heart of Christ, really. Peace be with you, because we're reconciled to God. Yeah, we can have peace with God, but also we have peace with one another because he's reconciled us to one another. So enjoy looking around when we're sharing communion. Say, I'm at peace with these people. It's good. Even if they are violinists. There's no violinists here, I don't think. Let the peace of Christ rule in the heart of this church. In fact, I want to speak that as a blessing. Let the peace of Christ rule as a heart in the heart of this church. Let that be a reality, a living reality for us. So as well as this, he says in this passage, I'm just going through it really, it's a nice three-point sermon this, because he says three things mainly. He says, let the message of Christ. So we've got the peace of Christ, now let the message of Christ, verse 16, dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. What that means is the message of Jesus, the message about Jesus, the teachings of Jesus should just permeate amongst us. Our speech, our songs to one another should be full of the words of Christ and about Christ. I'm not necessarily saying that we go around just spouting, quoting scriptures to one another. You know, don't you know that this is what this verse is? But that in kind of infused in the way we speak to one another, there is the way of Christ, the words of Christ. Our speech and our songs. Let the message of Christ fill our mouths to one another. Because it will build up our faith. That's why we come here, right? We come here to be strengthened in our faith. If you just come here and we just talk about the weather and the football, you can do that at the pub. And then probably get into a fight about it. And the peace of Christ is not dwelling there, you know? But as we come together, let's speak and build one another up in faith. It will transform our hearts and minds. You know, I just love being around people who are believers and talking about faith. It's encouraging. But it also will challenge. And maybe this comes into why we don't like to hear truth. Because actually, if we start speaking the truth of Jesus, it is challenging. The message of Christ is not always easy. It's not always easy listening. It's not always kind of, oh, that makes me feel good about myself. Because actually, he challenges us when he speaks. I was interested. I just sent out an email earlier in the week about we're going to look. Over the summer, we're going to have a series doing famous verses from the Bible. And I thought I'd just Google what some of the famous verses are. As I'm reading through what, I don't know where these things come from, the famous verses, I'm thinking, hardly any of these are things that Jesus said. Interestingly. I mean, they're still in the Bible, so they're still true. But I think some of the most true things, if you like, some of the hardest things, you know, if you want to follow me, you've got to sell up everything and give to the poor and then follow me. Okay. I hope the pastor, if he preaches on it, he explains it in a way so that makes me feel a little bit more comfortable about that. Maybe I didn't add that one in. Maybe that should be a famous. Or maybe we should have an infamous verses series as well, where we can. These are all the things that we should be listening to. You know, some of the. All I'm saying is, it's not necessarily easy listening. Some of it is really comforting. Some of it is we learn from it. Where Paul says to be admonished. That means to be told really where we're going wrong. But it's a timeless wisdom that gives life. And the thing is, you won't hear it out there. You won't hear it outside. You should hopefully hear it in the church. So let the message of Christ dwell richly among us. And not just from the front as well, by the way. Not just, you know, we're to speak to one another in our conversations. Let the message of Christ be... do we ever sort of say to one, you know, Jesus really spoke to me through the scriptures this week, and this. I was with a guy last night, he said, I was really convicted by something that I had read Jesus say in the scriptures, and he was talking about how he was parenting his children. I was really convicted. I'm thinking, let's speak like that to one another, you know? Let's talk about how the message of Christ changes our lives and our attitudes and our behaviours. Now, that's some of us, that might come naturally. You might think, oh, but for some of us, that's, you know, a bit strange. But one way, one thing we do actually is we sing. I don't know if you noticed, every week we sing. Yeah. And this is what Paul says here. He actually says, rather than speak it to one another, he says, sing to one another the truth. So I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again. In our singing, we sing to God in worship. But also, we could do that, by the way, we could do that at home on our own. But when we gather together, we sing to God in worship, yes, but we also are singing to one another. And we are letting the word of Christ dwell richly amongst us. And which is one of the reasons why, as a worship team, we often get, when we get together, particularly if it's a new song, we go through it and we think, is this true? Is this a Jesus-type song? And sometimes, actually, somebody from the congregation has come up to me and said, why are we singing that? I think these are good questions. Good questions. Look at these words. Are we singing about Christ? And when we come, we sing to one another, we worship, but we worship God, but we're also singing to one another so that we can let the message dwell richly amongst us. So basically, we sing to God, we sing to one another. So sing heartily. Even if you've got, you think you have a terrible voice, that's not the point. It's not a singing competition. Or, you know, we're not graded by like whether we've got a good vibrato or a good tone or that we can sing in tune or even in time. But actually, because I've been in churches, by the way, I used to go and minister, Marla, lead worship in a Sri Lankan congregation. And I'll be honest with you, they could not sing in tune at all. I mean, if that's an in-tune note, they would sing like there was a spread. If that was one note, that wasn't harmony. This was, and they had, let's say, an interesting way of keeping in time. It was a din. It was, and sometimes I used to have, I don't know why I'm going off on this, but I used to have a late night gig with, I was working a lot as a musician. I'd be like getting in at 1-2 o'clock in the morning, having done a gig. So I'd drag myself to this place in Wembley. It was quite a drive. Lead worship, I'm like, oh my word, this does not sound good. But the passion and the truth kind of overrode that.
Yes.
The word of Christ was dwelling richly there. The singing in tune was not dwelling richly, but the word of Christ was dwelling richly, and that, it builds faith. So sing like you mean it. Sing like actually these words are true. Sing like they mean something, they're powerful. Sing like we're singing about Christ. That's what we're here, you know. I don't want to just sort of say, come on, let's sing this one nice and heartily. I will, though, because it's good for all of us. And we're to do it. We don't sing alone. We sing to God, but we sing to one another. So remember that when we sing. And then finally, he says here, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Here it is again, giving thanks. When I say, if there's an opportunity to give thanks, there's usually like this stunned silence, as if to say, oh, really? I have to give thanks. But let's be encouraging one another and giving thanks. It can be for all kinds of simple things. It can be for amazingly profound things, but let's learn to give thanks. Let us live our lives as a thank offering to Jesus and do all in his name. So this is a call to live 100% for Christ, to have the peace of Christ in our hearts, to have the message of Christ on our lips, and to do everything in his name, to love each other in his name, to encourage each other and exhort each other in his name, to sing to one another in his name, do it all in the name of Jesus. But it also means make the tea in his name, you know, clean the toilets, put out the bins in his name. And that doesn't mean say you have to sing songs as you're rolling the bin down the road, particularly if you are one of those people like my neighbours who do it like at 11 o'clock at night. But do it all in his name. Look after yourself. Seek the good of your family. Be a peacemaker. Do it all in his name. Do the things that you've been given to do in the name of Jesus. Be the person you've created to be in the name of the Jesus. There may be little things, there may be great things, there may be mundane things, there may be profound things, but do it all in the name of Jesus. Let Christ be, there's another verse in Colossians, it says, Christ is all and in all. So let that be true in us. Let Christ be all and in all in us. We are his body. Amen.